Music team, aren't they amazing? We are so blessed. We are so blessed. And I love it when I walk up here because God only knows where I'm going. And I'm taking you with me, and you guys have been so kind and generous in that, so thank you so much. But really, that is what the conversation is about. We've had some foundational conversations and some significant events in our country and in the world. And, you know, we come into unity teaching not to look outside of ourselves for our salvation, but to know that we were created in the image and after the likeness of a creator, which makes us creative. And that when we align with that, all power under heaven and earth abides here, abides within our consciousness, that we have the ability to create and uncreate the garden of our lives. So last week we talked about being the wise gardener in our lives, and that came upon the heels of an election, and I'm still teaching about that because there's been so much conversation since that time. And one of the things that I want to teach today is about our creative power, that how we have the ability with each moment, with each breath, to join with Spirit, holy and divine, and create our experience. And it's powerful. And what came through for me by way of this conversation is this idea that to say to y'all and to myself that we think something has been decided. We believe something has been decided. We believe an election has occurred and is now complete and over. And I say no. I say no. I say that each and every day, in every thought, with every breath we take, we are electing for something in our lives. And what we do and how we do that consistently and persistently, no matter what's going on in the world, determines what our future is and our now. And that's what I feel really excited about, that we get to have these conversations renewed in a new way so that we know that things are going to go left, things are going to go right, things are going to whipsaw all over the place and continue to do so until we get firm and complete and persistent and consistent about what we're a stand for. What you are a stand for, what you're committed to, what you're electing to have within the experience of your daily life, of our daily life. And here's the deal. We all look, I didn't mean to jump right in, but I guess I did jump right in. Here's the deal. Like, we look around at each other. Like, look at the beauty that is in this room. Look around, like, really rubberneck right now. Like, you can. Like, look who showed up. Like, this is magnificent. And all power under heaven and earth abides here. And hello, everybody who's joining us online. In fact, say hello. Introduce yourself, because later, you know what? I'm going to go and I'm going to see who's there, and I want to hear your conversation too. But what I know is that each of us is necessary, and there's not one of us who isn't. Like, this deal isn't sealed until we come together and be for something and not against something. And in unity, we are for some very specific things, and they have got something to do with love, something to do with beauty, something to do with the power of God, something to do with a faithfulness, something to do with peace. And each and every person here has a unique personality, a unique body form, and unique talents and gifts that are necessary for the whole. We need each other. And the time of being against things must come to an end. Because I don't care so much about that, but I want to know what we're for. And so that was a quote that I used last week, and that quote was from Ernest Holmes. And it's, and I'm repeating it again because it bears repeating. Find me one person who is for something and against nothing, who is redeemed enough not to condemn others out of the burden of their soul, and I will find another Savior, another Jesus, and an exalted human being. And so the question becomes, what are we for? What are we for? Now, I talked about being that, you know, the wise gardener, and sometimes it's really hard to discern what we're for. And sometimes the beginning is, what are we against? But that's something that we do in our own discernment process, to distill that into what we're for. So for example, I at one time was against, like, factory farming is an example that led me to becoming a vegetarian and at times vegan, and having a way of life that was committed to something. Now, when I would talk about it from my passionate againstness, it turned people off. It really did. I used to have little flashcards of, you know, chickens and pigs, and I'd be out to dinner with people and I'd pull it out and I'd say, did you know that a pig has the intelligence of an average 2 to 3 year old or your dog? And if people would just, it was a turnoff. Like nobody wanted to have dinner with me, you know? And I had to get to a place to what I was for. That didn't turn people off. And it brought people into agreement and curiosity. Why are you so passionate about compassionate treatment of sentient beings, of living beings? Why? You know, when I can talk about love, when I can talk about peace and peacefulness, when I can talk about kindness, guess what? People come into agreement with you. And guess what? They want to have dinner with you, right? So then I'm not alone in my quest. I'm enrolling. And we enroll one another by sharing what we're for. So that's the example. This is the creative process, the beginning step of the creative process. And this is what we teach in Unity. This is fundamental Unity basic teaching. There's a power and a presence for good that is for you, for us, and we are one with it. And when we go into the garden, we go into the garden alone to get away from the distractions of the world, so that we can cultivate that one and only relationship that Jesus spoke about, walked about, talked about. When you see me, you see the Father, Mother presence. I am one with God. And it is when I am in that oneness that miracles come forth. Now, one of the things I love about this teaching, one of the reasons why I am still 100% committed to it, because the further I walk along the path, I realize that the same principles apply no matter what. No matter what. Now, sometimes people remind me of those principles that I teach and preach in the moment when I don't want to hear it. I'm like, where'd you hear that? I heard that from you. I'm like, ah. So, you know, I guess you did. I guess I got to listen. I guess I got to walk the talk. Thank goodness I walk it with you. Thank goodness, because it buoys us up. But, really what I'm getting at is it's easy because there are no new principles, really. So we just keep applying the same ones. And what changes, so principles are changeless. And what changes is the effect. What changes is the garden. What changes is the world of form. Okay? But here's the deal. We always think, oh, if I could just really align with creative principles, you know, everything would be, you know, X, Y, Z in this way. I want us to really get we're using the principles all the time. We can make a mess. I know I can. Anybody ever make a mess? We can do that. And we do it utilizing the very same principles of creating a beautiful garden. Every moment, in every breath, we get to pick and choose from what consciousness we're making our choices. And there's ever only two. I'm serious. You might think, okay, this is New Thought, Unity Basics, simplified, but it's always been simple. It's always been simple. We're ever only making our choice with one of two mindsets. It's the mind of love or the mind of fear. The mind of fear, when I'm aligning with fear, when I'm distracted by the world of effects, when people are telling me I need to be afraid, when people are telling me things are going to be horrible, and I start making decisions, and I tend then to be against something, I'm contributing to the same mindset of fear and fearfulness. That's the mindset that makes the mess. It's messy. Nothing wrong with it, and there's no judgment in it. Because ultimately, we can't do it wrong. I know, we don't really believe that. That's why I can tell you that. You can't do it wrong, you can just use it differently. That's it. It's gonna work no matter what you pick. You choose love or fear. Love is creative. Note, fear makes a mess. It makes something, but what it makes is not eternal. It's temporary. But love, when we create from love, it's eternal. That's why when somebody transitions, when somebody leaves this body form, we still feel the love of them because we know that that is what is real, changeless, can't take it away. Think of someone or something you love right now. Close your eyes. Think of somebody you love. Think of a person, place, or thing that brought you love and joy. Or the one or the being that when you're with, you forget the world. Maybe there's a giggle, a laugh. Maybe it's a person who you just knew loves you unconditionally. You can feel that, and they may or may not be in this room. This is what we create from, and this is the creation that is lasting and eternal beyond when the form dissipates. Beyond that, God is, love is. So as the wise gardener, we look upon our garden. Another quote I used this week in the e-blast. Love this one, because we talked about this last week. We're living in two worlds simultaneously. One, the fall of Rome, and the other, a new renaissance. That caught my attention because of the word renaissance. I got to use that. We need to be both death doulas and birth doulas, helping die peacefully the systems that need to die and helping give birth to a wholly different kind of world. That's by Marianne Williamson. So when we are the wise gardener, we're continuously looking at our garden. Remember, you can't do it wrong. Your garden is your friend. The world is reflecting back to us what we've been holding in our consciousness. And sometimes it's going like this. Wake up, beloved. What are you creating from? Are you creating from fear? Because it's messy right now. Are you creating from love? And you can look at your garden and you can become the death doula. You can usher into a death of sorts that which you no longer want in your life, in our lives. And we said that we do that by stop focusing upon it. Stop feeding it. Stop nourishing it. And join with the creator of your being. In the garden, alone, away from the distractions, so that you can begin to ask love to point the way. We just simply ask love to point the way. We simply ask, what seeds am I going to now plant in my garden? And love's going to look a little different for each and every one of us. And the beauty is that when we plant the seeds that are given us, they come from the desire of our heart. And the desire of our heart is placed there by God to bring you, to carry you in the direction of love. Because the spirit of our being knows that which is to come forth through us. And if it's a desire in our heart, the substance for its completion is already there. Emily Cady, I love unity. Unity is an early, quintessential American religion that at a time not long after those who show up as females, as women, were being burned and called heretics, and if they showed any wisdom, not long after, a woman healed herself through the power of her mind, and her name was Myrtle Fillmore. And her spouse, her husband, rather than poo-pooing it, became curious and interested. And he proved the principle she demonstrated for himself, and he was on fire. And unity came into being. And a female voice became one of their main teachers. Her name was Emily Cady, and she wrote Lessons in Truth. And she has a whole theology on desire, But basically she says this: the divine idea is essentially the promise of God because it is the substance of it already exists in the spiritual realm. The essential point is that true desire comes from God, not from us. Take a breath here. There's a seed of desire in your heart, each and every one of us. And I'm inviting you to elect that, to be that which you focus upon now. What desire of your heart, the is for something. For something that is of value, that makes your heart sing, that tickles you, gives a giggle, presses you forward into an expression that's uniquely you. We can pause and just say, what would I love? What do I love? What desire of my heart seeks to emerge now? And keep asking the question, because my beloveds, we've been under the influence of voices that will carry us away from that. The greatest distraction of the ego mind is fear. And that fear will tell you you need to be focused on something else, against something else, against someone. And just like being for something, you will find that you're not alone. A lot of people join together and collect in fear and fearful thoughts. It can be just as compelling and mesmerizing. And it too masquerades as a power. But it collapses when you stop giving it attention. Stop watering it, stop feeding it, stop listening to voices of fear, and go into the garden alone and court, like you court a lover, court the desire of your heart. And dedicate yourself to that. That is a seed of the divine that comes into the conscious awareness, the soil of your being. And we nurture that. And when we do, it will move you in ways to extend and express your gifts that the world has been waiting for. But more importantly, it brings you joy. More importantly, it puts a smile upon the face, and the worry dissipates and disappears. One with God, one with love, one with peace is a majority and always wins. The other thing, I said, that you cannot fail. And the biggest way to begin to soften about this idea of failure is to begin to practice loving. You're not going to like this. Well, I didn't. So I'm projecting that onto you. You might just love it, but I didn't like it at first. I'm going to love what is. Oh, but if I don't rail against it, I'm going to love what is. Because the minute I start arguing with what is, I lose. Not just some of the time, but only 100% of the time. When I argue with what is, I lose, but only 100% of the time. Byron Katie. Now, why is that? Because what is perfectly reflecting back to you the areas where you can choose love, where perhaps maybe you didn't before. That's all. That's all. It's informative. It's not meant to punish. It's informative. There was one other Byron Katie quote I have here. I think, oh, this is a good one. She's got some really good ones. Sanity. Okay, like you guys know what sanity is. You know what insanity is, don't you? Let's start there. Like we know what insanity is. Sanity does not suffer. Sanity does not suffer. There is an allure to suffering, my friends. And what makes us unique as a Christian spirituality that follows Jesus is we don't really glorify suffering. Our Christian brothers and sisters, God bless, and I know that many awaken in that pathway, so I'm not saying anything about that, but I'm saying what makes us unique, our Christianity, is that we don't believe, we do not believe that salvation is contingent upon suffering. Now, we see lots of nods here, but we are living, moving, have been raised in a culture, a Judeo-Christian culture, where suffering is the pathway. And we're saying no. That keeps us tied to the suffering. So you might say, but the things that have happened in the world are calamitous, or you might even be celebrating them. It doesn't matter. This lesson's for all of us. Because until we get to that place of what do I love? What do I desire? What is that seed that is dropping in that I am now going to focus upon and be for, exclusively for, is our pathway home. And objectively looking at the garden, where we have to be both the death doula and the birth doula, where we're going to accept what is the key to our pathway home. We're going to look at it, and then we're going to choose again. So the creative principle and process begins with going into that garden, observing. Everything is for us, nothing's against us. I'm going to make my choices from the power of love. What would I love? And then I'm going to dedicate my life to it. This is intention. The minute we walk out the door, maybe the minute we even start chatting amongst ourselves, be mindful of when you get that fearfulness comes in. It's mesmerizing. But we're awakening. Snap your finger. We're awakening. You know, sometimes that hurts a little. I'm going to use this side. We are awakening. We're awakening to who we are, what we are, how we serve. We are awakening now. With a snap of a finger, it can all shift and change. We focus on love. We focus on peace. We focus on joy. We dedicate our lives to it. And then the last thing we do is we surrender. We let it go. Now, I'm the one who bakes the cake or puts the cake in the oven and keeps looking. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? Are you done yet? We're going to have faith. And we're going to trust that we've set into motion something that works. And we're going to watch the garden grow. And we got time to cultivate this together. We've got time to do this. Who wants to do it with me? I need you, man. I need you. So what the assignment is, as we go forth from here today, the assignment is this. Is that over the next week, we go into our garden and we look at our lives. We're not going to judge it. We're going to go, now this is where we all lean in. Isn't that interesting? It's not out there, really. It's in here. How benevolent it is that it's showing me the areas that I can love, the aspects of myself I can love, the aspects of my brothers and sisters that seem to be calling out for love. Wow. Okay. I'm going to plant those seeds. I'm going to exclusively plant those. And when something crops up, I'm not going to pay attention to it anymore. I'm going to say, thank you for sharing. Thank you for informing me. I'm moving in this direction. I'm saying right now something wonderful and magnificent is happening in this community, in this life, your lives, that your creative energy is bursting forth in magnificent ways, and only you can do you, can't do me, can't do your brother or sister, can't do Jesus, really. We've been trying to do that, and it hasn't worked for us. It's time for you to do you. And I say, look out. Let's do it. Look out. Look out, world. Here we come. Here we come. And it is good and glorious. And it is for the glory of God. And so it is. Amen. 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 And so we seal this with a prayer. We seal this with a prayer and prayer consciousness. I say thank you, Mother, Father, God, Infinite Spirit, that this is already so. That the desire of the heart is placed there because it is a signal from the divine, from the all that is, of the infinite possibility seeking to express as each one of us. It's a harbinger saying, move in this direction, beloved. Walk this way, beloved. Speak in this way. Be still in this way. Let love lead. And what I see and declare is that in the diversity and multiplicity of expression that is magnificent, that is this beautiful garden that we marvel at, that we celebrate together, that I know and claim that each in this room, within this vibratory field, is touched, moved, and inspired in some way to allow creation to flow through in the unique and divine way it does. This is a world transformed by the renewing of our mind and the dedication of our lives to electing for love, for peace, for joy, and extending it out in the world such that we see and know a world that works for all, with all, because it is all. I release this word, it returns fulfilled. And together we say, and so it is, and so we let it be. Amen, amen, amen. Take a breath here. And I want you to look at a neighbor. Just look at someone. Just say, I see you. I know who you are. I see those gifts coming through. And I'm cheering you on. We're walking through heaven together. I'm waking up and I'm bringing you with me. And so it is. Amen.